So hi, Paul Sack. It's Good News Plan. I'm here with my good friend, Mark Sackett. Hey, Mark, how are you?
I'm awesome. How are you?
You are an awesome guy. You know, last night I got a chance to see you once again in action and helping others learn about themselves, I'm going to say. And you like to do that by giving them a chance to share what's important to them, in essence, in a group setting, which I think is very good because you're speaking it out loud. You're taking a moment to think about it. The only thing is you only give them a moment to think about it. So you either do this, I hear, in 30 seconds or 45 seconds.
Right.
I could actually talk about you for a long time, but I'm going to stop now. So Mark, hi, how are you?
I'm awesome. Thank you. It's called The Art of Active Networking. And, you know, I started it 9 years ago because I can't stand networking events. I seriously hate them. And I think that the reason that I dislike them so much is because when you think about all the network, you do a lot of them, you know, and people, oh, what do you do for a living? And then people immediately start sorting you into a, like, well, I don't need that. And as soon as they don't need that, they walk away immediately from all of the possibilities that are you, all the people that you know, all of what you're potentially willing to do for them, all of your experience, and everything. All because they're using a paradigm of what do you do, and if that's not something they need or feel like they can sell to, then the conversation's over.
So let me ask a couple of quick questions,
sure,
just because I think it's might be helpful. So name tags, make sense, not make sense?
Well, I don't believe so, because then that's another excuse to not talk to somebody.
Okay, how about just a name? Name's okay.
Why? You're going to say your name. Have a conversation. Look somebody in the eye. Talk to them. It's not that hard. We used to do it all the time.
Uh-huh. I'm trying to recollect. And
exactly.
So that's a good thing. And so then when you start a conversation, but you know you're in a sort of bit, a little bit of a stage setting. I mean, you know you're sort of going to an event.
Well, you know you're going
people.
To a networking event.
Right.
And so I wanted to flip that on its ear, because I believe that's why I call it the art of active networking, because I believe there's an art to building relationships. And I believe that networking is a known paradigm. But I believe that you have to be active in how you build your relationships and how you have conversations in order to get what you want. And even if what you want is to sell and push and do all that nonsense, build your business and all those kinds of things, you can do it at my events. But I'm just suggesting that nobody here in New York, nobody in those events likes to be sold to. I asked the question last night, does anybody like to be sold to? And everybody had their hands folded neatly in their laps. Nobody likes that. You don't like it. We hang up on people when they call us trying to sell stuff. So it's okay to sell. It's okay to promote your business. It's okay to promote what you do. But what if you just started your conversation in a different way? What if it was like, hey, I know everybody struggles. Everybody listening here struggles with something. All of us do. It's a universal truth. It's part of being human. So if we recognize that we all struggle with something, including everybody here and everybody at the event last night and everybody that I meet, what if we start off with, how are you and how can I help you do better right now? And it's a bit disarming for people, I get that. But what about a genuine conversation and what unfolds immediately after?
You know, my grandson says to me, how's your day? I swear to God, I feel like opening up my whole life and sharing it with him. You know, I guess it also is almost like, a lot of people say when you're married, you know, a good way to say, how was your day, dear? You know, that's sort of like an easy way and a good way to share what's going on. What do you think?
Well, it's also an out for people. Okay. I ask everybody, I said last night, you remember, I started off, I'm like, how are y'all doing? And most people, they're fine. But I know they're not fine.
Okay.
And we learned later in the event that they weren't fine. Everybody's got these struggles. So it's like it's a way to, we're just trained. We're in these habits, and it's like, how are you? I'm fine. Are you really fine? Then I don't have to talk to you. It's an easy way to just not talk to you. I'm fine. Have a good day.
Okay.
You know?
So this is in essence a little bit more involved.
I guess. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just more genuine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I ask you how you're doing and you tell me you're fine, I'll probably push back. I'll be like, are you? What's going on in your life? How are you? What do you anything you're struggling with or anything I can do to help you?
Right.
I mean, wouldn't you rather hear that than, okay, well, have a good day?
Well, you're definitely, you know, in your personality, you're open to be helpful to others in a very direct manner. I don't think everyone is as bold, maybe I'll even say, to be able to do that.
Yeah.
But what I wonder about, and what I see as also being a salesperson, and even though and what I do in the end isn't sales, it's really doing the work of what we sold for. If I, who meet somebody, if I don't get right to, you know, what do you do, how do you do, and start making all those judgments, I have a great conversation. If I start to talk about baseball or I start to talk to about music, and if I don't even get to what they do, you can always go back to them. I think what happens sometimes is that you feel you're never going to get back to that person because we meet lots of people. So you get right to what you think is important to you, and it might put people off. What do you think?
Well, yeah, that's exactly the point, is what's important to you. I didn't turn my sound off. I apologize.
Yeah, but it's a nice sound.
Well, it's like a robot.
It's a robot?
It's like a robot sound. And my whole staff just laughs every time I get a text message. They're like, seriously, can't you pick something else? So if you think about it, you know, I don't, when people ask me what I, okay, so ask me what I do. I mean, you know me. I have 13 companies. It's a complicated answer with me. Then usually what happens, people are like, well, that sounds like a total crock. I mean, it's kind of, nobody does this stuff. Who would do all those things? It's dumb. But so I can't answer you. And when I then impressed, I tell them what I do and they're like, oh God. And then they still don't know what to do with me. So what does it matter? Because nobody's going to hire me anyway, for the most part. That's not how I get my business. I get my business through building passionate relationships with what I talked about last night, which is know, like, and trust. How we do business in the world, for the most part, is through know, like, and trust. If I know, like, and trust you, I'm going to refer you, or I'm going to call you, or I'm going to speak good of you, okay? If I don't know you, I can't do those things. No, like and trust aren't there. If I know you and I don't like you, doesn't matter if I trust you. And if I know you and I trust you, I think I can trust you. But honestly, I just don't really like you that much. Then we're probably not going to move forward. So if any one of those three things is missing, we're probably not going to go further in our relationships. But if all three of those things are there, there's amazing things that can happen. And I can refer you. I can work with you. We can collaborate. We can go help somebody else around something that we both commonly are passionate about. It really doesn't matter. So there's some magic in that I don't think we get. Instead, what we do is we slap on a name tag, we go to a networking event, we collect a bunch of cards, we don't follow up with the people that we meet, and we are like, what do you do for a living? Nope, don't need that. Nope, don't need, and we don't say that out loud, but that's exactly what's happening. We neatly sort people. I spoke at TEDx here, TEDx Fulton Street, a couple years ago, and this is part of what I talked about in my TED Talk. You know, I call it rubber band syndrome. You know, we put a rubber band around cards and we toss them in our purse or in our bag or wherever, and then we don't follow up with the people. And then 6 weeks later, we pull it out and we're like,
what is that?
Where did I meet those people? But why do I have a rubber band around? I don't even know who they are. And we never bothered to follow up. And I think I made a reference last night to this networking event that I've attended in the past in New York many times. And I would go. I went pretty religiously for a while because I wanted to try to meet people that might want to come to my event and learn a new way to build relationships. And I probably met 400 or 500 people at those events, and I followed up with every single one of them. And about 10 of them followed up with me, like even replied back to my email. And usually they were trying to sell me something. Oh, we do custom fitted suits. Oh, we do this. And oh, hey, if you're looking for any real estate in Manhattan, well, I own plenty of real estate, I don't need more. So it's like, what if you stop selling? Because, and here's the biggest point, and this is going to sound arrogant. I don't mean it to sound arrogant. Put anybody in my chair. I know 250,000 people in my network, okay? If you need something and you have the attitude that I have of, I'd like to help you do better, wouldn't you want to know me? No, me might not even like me, but
I invited you here.
Wouldn't you want to?
I don't actually like you, but exactly. I know you have 250,000.
But
I mean,
but the point is,
following you all day
long. Not just me, but I know a lot of people. I care about people. I genuinely want to help people. And wouldn't you want to have somebody like me? Don't forget that it's me. Somebody like me network.
Of course.
You know, because I've got the right attitude, and so, you know, this thing I talk about, my give for, I say, spend 4 hours a week giving to and helping other people. Give of your ideas and your talent, give of your time, give of your money, and give of your network referrals. And if you do this, it will come back to you.
What do you think about, since you talked about your little robot in your phone, what do you think about social networking? In fact, I think that's what they call it. Do you see us all actually making most of our relationships built on the LinkedIns, the Facebooks, the Instagrams, and so on and so forth?
I'll delineate the difference. I think that you find that most people are making their connections on social media. That's not where they're building their relationships necessarily. So they might be building their connections there it's still their responsibility to take that into relationship. Okay? I'm on 120 social media sites and have 120 some social media pages. I have 19 Facebook pages and groups, and I use it every single day. I'm one of the 100 most connected people in the world on LinkedIn, so much so that I have 8,000 people that they won't let me add because I reached 30,000 2 years ago, which is absurd to me. I mean, it's a site for connecting, and they limit you. Facebook limits you to 5,000. It's absurd. Facebook says they have an algorithm that says it's impossible to know more than 5,000 people. I'm here to tell you that's not true. And they say you can't maintain 5,000 relationships. If you're in a position like me, you're a public speaker, I meet 300 people a week. Am I going to build deep, passionate relationships with each of those people? No. But do I recognize that each of those people struggle and that I might be able to offer all of my walls and my groups for free for somebody to post up on, for somebody who's struggling, for somebody who's raising money for a cause? And can I call that person, recognizing that know, like, and trust is there? They've come to my events, they trust me, they know me, they like me. Do we have to hang out and have coffee and have dinner? Not necessarily. If I have the opportunity to, I'm thrilled to. We did that last night. But we have to take it somewhere further, and social media is a perfectly acceptable and good way to do it.
Tell me about little Mark. When little Mark was a little guy, and he had some, hopefully, parents somewhere, and he grew up, and it still does, which is beautiful. And he was kind of thinking, where is he going to go as he got a little bigger? How did you come around to be doing what you're doing today?
Oh, God.
Give me 20 hours on it. But, you know.
I was born in Kansas City.
Okay.
Grew up in Kansas City, was there till I was 30, and then moved to California. And I was, I've done a lot of work on myself to figure out why I'm wired the way I am. And I was afraid. I somehow early recognized that money bought me freedoms of some kind. So like when I was 7, I had a Kool-Aid stand and my mom made my Kool-Aid for me and helped me make, I made peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and I think and cut them into triangles. And then my dad, when I went up to the Kmart, and as we were coming out, I asked him if I could have 25 cents or 10 cents or whatever it was for one of those big gumballs. And I put it in and the machine broke and all the gumballs started pouring out. So I took my shirt and I caught them all in my shirt. And I walked back into the manager of the Kmart and I said, your gumball machine broke and I want to give them all back to you because I just wanted one and I caught them all. None of them hit the ground, I promise. And he goes, well, that's wonderful, but I can't put them back in the machine and sell them. I need to have the machine repaired. And if they come out like that, I can't put them back in. Somebody's like, basically it's considered handled. And I'm like, well, I don't want to throw them away. He goes, well, you just keep them. So I put them on my Kool-Aid stand and sold them for 5 cents a piece. And then I think I bought some balloons and I blew them up by hand or by my own mouth instead of helium and sold balloons for a nickel. And anyway, while other kids were making $7 on their Kool-Aid stand, I think I made like $62.50, you know? And so, and then I started cutting grass. And like, so every time I had money in my hand, I was like, I like that. That gives, I felt like there was some security or cushion or something in that. And it wasn't about being wealthy, and who knew? Nobody used the word entrepreneur until 10 years ago or 8 years ago. So it was something that, like, I remember my parents got me this credit union account, and it looked like a passport. It was blue like a passport, and it had a little girl with an umbrella and, like, a silver stamp on the front of it, and it was raining on the umbrella. And the umbrella said, teach your dollars to have more sense, C-E-N-T-S. Wow. And it was kind of like the miracle of compound interest. And I think when I was 12, I had $2,600 in it from cutting grass and shoveling snow during the winter. And I was always doing something to make money. I never thought I'd be an entrepreneur or have my own business, but that's what I guess I started doing.
Well, and you're so good at it. There's no doubt about it, Mark. And you are that kind guy and you are that open man to help many. I mean, I know this because I know you a bunch of years now, and every time you're in town, I love to get a moment with you.
I've always appreciated that you, I mean, I think you've come with your camera and your microphone to 3 or 4 of my events and been set up, you know, you've asked me what the good news is, and I appreciate what you do and what you're doing, and I wish everybody knew about it. I wish your show was on a major network nightly. I wish it was the Good News Nightly News. And, you know, and there wasn't, you know, if it leads, it bleeds, or bleeds, it leads, or whatever they say in news. And, you know, I think that we need to have more good stories. You know, like this guy, I saw something yesterday when I was flying in from San Francisco, and there's this guy in the subway, and he's a busker, you know, he puts his guitar case out and makes money and sings. He sings like 50s and 60s rockabilly. But he has a sign next to it, and he says, if you're homeless or in need, take whatever you need. So he makes $200 to $400 cash a day, and then homeless people come up, and he goes, just take what you need. And he convinces them, and he gives all the money away. Now, how cool is that?
You know? That's very, very
And then
cool.
Like the story I told last night, you know, the little African-American kid and the little white kid, and they go to school together, and they're best buddies, and was it a YouTube video that went viral last week or the week before, and these two kids decided they wanted to get their hair cut the same so that their teacher wouldn't recognize the difference in them. They wouldn't be able to tell them apart. And like these two kids, there's no concept of racial difference. They don't see color. They just thought they would try to trick their teacher, which I love that, because that's just like little boys. That's what they do, you know? And they're like 4 or 5 years old or whatever they are. And I just thought that was awesome. You know, really cool. There's so much of that in the world, but we hear 90% negativity every day. You know, we listen to this nonsense about the White House and the nonsense about immigrants, the nonsense about Muslims, and all we're doing is trying to find ways to divide everybody up. Well, and what if we just stopped all that?
I agree. You know, I have to tell people I'm stressed from so much good news. And it's literally true, because there's a billion to one people doing wonderful things. Anybody not bothering everybody is good news.
Right,
so
right.
There's just a ton of great content out there, and one day we'll be on that network or our web broadcast, which is now 19 years old. You know, we'll have finally found our investors and have enough money to run it like my CBS and PBS days.
Sure.
And I've always had that belief that it's just a matter of time. And we're getting closer. So.
Well, and you said, like I said last night, don't give up 5 minutes before the miracle. Right?
I heard
so
you
many
say
of
that.
Us do that.
I
it's like,
you
know, it's like,
said.
I've put my blood, sweat, and tears into this for however long. And you know what? You don't know. And the other thing I will say is, you know, anybody who wants to go to theartofactivenetworking.com, and next to the ticket link, there's free Facebook group, Facebook page, LinkedIn group. A couple thousand people in each of those. And I probably have, you know, I have 11 meetup groups around the world. Join them all. It's all free. The events I charge for, but I hardly charge anything for the events. I don't do it for money. I do it to try to cover my venue cost and travel cost a little bit, but that doesn't even work. But they can post up whatever they're looking for free. And you should post up the show on the page so people can learn about it.
Okay. All right. He tells me what to do. I'm going to do it. What's good news for you, Mark?
I think good news for me is that I'm here. I'm happy. I'm healthy. I'm struggling a lot with a few things right now, but I take one step a day and I move forward, and I'm happy to be here, you know.
All right, last question, because we're very involved with world peace and the International Day of Peace, September 21st.
Mm-hmm.
So I've asked many people, what does peace mean to them? So why don't you share what your thoughts are?
I think peace means to me is serenity. You know, it's about not tearing something else down to get what you want. And I think that we spend way too much time tearing people and other things down in order to get what we want. And I just think we need to stop all that.
Love it. All right, Mark, always a pleasure.
Thank you
very much for
always
coming over
to
here.
See you.
And
try that restaurant on the corner. I told her about you. I said, you're going to come in. And I said, she's doing cool stuff. And it's your neighbor. So you go meet your neighbor.
I love my neighbors. This is, for me, is just like my little Tarrytown, even though
I come up here once a year. I come to New York because I want to watch them inflate the floats before Thanksgiving. And you live at the end of that street.
Oh, you come over here. Come
Every
over
year.
Here. Come here.
Well, now I know you're here. I know where I'm starting with a bottle of wine.
There you go. And
yeah.
A barbecue. Why not? Then we'll go out there.
Well, barbecue. I'm from Kansas City.
No,
talking about barbecue, you just got to, you know, I just say, watch your mouth. Before you call it barbecue, let's just discuss that, because, you know, we're a little picky about our meat in Kansas City.
So, you know, because I had Sprint as my client for so many years.
So you went back to Kansas City a lot.
So Hereford's. And so I sort of seen barbecue.
Okay.
Now, I will be straight out here. It's not even a third as good. but I do put sauce on the meat.
Okay. Because, like, I was dating somebody who was from North Carolina. And they're like, we're going to have barbecue. And I'm like, you mean with the vinegar and mustard? I'm like, I think you can call that marinade. but you can't call it barbecue. And we would have this.
No, you guys are serious out there. There's nothing about it.
Yeah, definitely. And there's nothing better than good. You know, it's funny. I many times will think I should stop eating meat and I'm going to give, maybe I'll eat more vegetarian. And I do. And then I go home and I'm like, I have to have burnt ends. I can't. Yeah, I have to have brisket. And maybe it's not often, but I don't think I could ever, I'd like to think I could give it up, but I don't think I'm a strong enough human.
And I know I'm not either.
Yeah, it's just really good.
All right, Mark. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Okay, great.